are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get straight into it. Becoming a mentor, leading without ego. Now, you do not need to be perfect to be a mentor. You need to be present. Mentorship is not about having all the answers. It's about walking with someone in faith, sharing your story, and pointing them to Christ. The best mentors do not create clones. They cultivate courage. They help others hear God more clearly, not just echo their own voice. Very, very important distinctions there. So let's get straight into it. Pastor Marere joins us once again on the line. Good morning, my pastor. Welcome back to the program.
I'm fine and well. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing very well, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time. Would you please pray for us as we begin?
Let's pray. Our Father, what in heaven? The Lord God is merciful and gracious, the great mender, the one who guides us in the journey of Christianity. Lead us in this presentation, for we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, let's go on into our conversation, leading without ego. What fears or insecurities often keep us from mentoring someone spiritually?
Thank you so much for such a question. The greatest fear is the fear of being vulnerable, vulnerability.
Okay.
Remember, both of us, we are human beings. Mm-hmm. We don't know everything.
Yeah.
No, even at home, there are some moments when a child will say, Daddy, what about this? Can you buy me that big car? Mm-hmm. Why this don't have money?
Yeah.
So vulnerability, accepting that you don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and also there is insecurity about our own faith walk can also hinder us, as we may worry about being asked questions we cannot answer or feeling inadequate compared to others.
Hey.
So recognizing these fears can be the first step in overcoming them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have been given a mentee.
Mm-hmm.
My young person, I'm going to walk with the journey with you. Some of the path I've traveled,
mm-hmm.
some of the path I have not, we'll be learning together.
Okay.
So by so doing, it helps you as a mentor to be humble. Because this one is not also a total 100% empty vessel.
Right.
Yes, I'm going to mentor that person, but he will share about one or two things that she may have been known.
To teach me, yeah.
To teach me, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so in such a situation, then, how do you guard against pride or control in mentoring relationships, especially recognizing that, you know, while I am the mentor, I am the leader, I am the one who should be guiding the other one, with that knowledge that you've pointed out, the fact that maybe they've got something to teach me. How do we avoid getting stuck in pride and, you know, that know-it-all kind of energy?
The greatest key is humility.
Mm.
Because it is essential to approach mentoring with humility.
Mm-hmm.
Also recognizing that we are fellow travelers on the journey of faith.
Mm.
We have not once traveled this life.
True.
In other words, remember, life is live once.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if there was second chance, like of Job, you would come and say, no, I once lived 130 years. Some centuries back.
Mm-hmm.
I've come back to mentor you, but we don't have such a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be humble, knowing that we are fellow travelers. Then number two, providing active listening. I should be listening much than speaking much, because it adds value to me and gives that person a perspective that provides and maintains a health that is dynamic, a health relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helped me to set clear boundaries and being open to feedback from the mentee. Playing attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Ensuring that the relationship is collaborative rather than hierarchical or authoritative.
Right, right. And what parts of a person's story could be a gift to someone else's growth?
Okay, one of the richest parts is whereby, as a mentor, I'm able to be vulnerable to explain to the mentee my personal struggles,
mm-hmm.
my triumph, and the ways God has worked in my life. If I'm a mentor and I'm not willing to share my failures,
mm-hmm.
I'm prejudicing the mentee. But if I'm honest, if I'm vulnerable, I share my victories, I share my failures, I share my fears and my doubts. And this will provide encouragement
mm-hmm.
and hope. At the same time, demonstrating that growth often comes through the challenges we face.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge that we face in mentorship is whereby a mentor is always speaking the victories. Like in the driving school, someone would say, no, when I was driving, all the lessons were perfect, everything was okay. As if I was born a genius.
Mm. mm. Yeah. And I think we often underestimate the power that our stories can have, the power of our testimonies. We often underestimate how far they can go. And I think that's because we've heard so many stories that are really like mind-blowing. And so when you've kind of had a regular life and God has come through for you in what we might consider regular, non-dramatic ways, you feel like you don't really have a testimony and you feel like you don't really have anything to share or to help someone or to grow somebody's faith in any way, because there's nothing dramatic, there's nothing memorable, there's nothing particularly that stands out about my story. So we underestimate how our story or parts of our story could be a gift to someone else's growth.
Yes, we should really share our stories.
Yeah. And how do we create safe spaces for questions, for mistakes, for honest dialogue in mentorship? Especially, like you said earlier, one of our fears is being asked things that I don't have the answers to. I'm so worried that if you ask me this, you'll realize that I'm actually not qualified, or you'll think that I'm not qualified for this job. So how can I create a space as a mentor where my mentee feels comfortable to ask me questions? I am comfortable to receive questions, even if there is the risk that I might not have the answers.
The good part of giving a mentee a room to ask questions, a room to make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
number one, it provides growth.
Mm.
For example, let me give a scenario at a home setup whereby a child will make a mistake. Maybe he or she have failed to hold properly a plate, this one that are there these days, or a glass of water.
Yeah.
So if I don't give that young person an opportunity to make mistakes, if he or she makes a mistake, I beat or I raise my voice,
mm.
which means when next time that child will make a mistake, I am creating a liar, someone who hides things from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we discover that some plates, they will just disappear from the home booth. They'll put it in the ground, burying them somewhere.
Yeah.
So it is a way of covering their mistakes. But if a mentee have got a room to ask questions, if a mentee have got a percentage of room to make some mistakes, therefore, if he or she makes some mistakes, they will have an honest mind to mm-hmm. come. You know what, say, we're trying to do this, but there was an error. This mistake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them to provide open conversation.
Yeah.
And encouraging openness through active listening and validation of their feelings help establish trust. Initiating conversations about common struggles or uncertainties can also normalize mistakes and foster a culture of learning, allowing both mentor and mentee to grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because by the nature of our creation, if I make a mistake, I already blame myself.
Mm.
So there is need for someone now to uplift me, to have courage. Because we've got a lot of young people, once they made a mistake, they even died while they are living.
Mm-hmm.
Because no room for mistakes, no room for correction, will provide permanent damage.
Mm. Yeah. So
there is need for room to encourage these young mentees.
Yeah. They have to feel safe enough to make those mistakes. I remember hearing something similar to that when someone was speaking about supporting small businesses. and the fact that, you know, oftentimes you want to support your friend or an acquaintance or someone that you go to church with, you want to support their business, but because the service is not quite the same as the one you're used to at this other established business, then you quickly give up and go back to the one that you know. And I remember someone saying, no, that established business also started off making mistakes. They made mistakes, but they were supported.
Yeah.
The community supported them until they got to the stage now where it's a smooth operation and you have come to expect excellence. And you have to show that same patience with this one who's just starting out. They are going to be delayed in their in their service delivery sometimes. They might have issues with this and that, but they're still learning. They're still growing. And if we give up, then they never get to the same level as these other established businesses because we give up too early.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We have to allow safe spaces to make mistakes and grow. And as we're wrapping up, my pastor, what rhythms or practices help you to stay grounded as you guide others?
The best way is to have a regular personal prayer programs.
Okay.
A regular start of scripture and reflection on one's journey. I should be the one who should take personal audit of my life and be honest to myself where I've done better, where I've not done better. But from the Bible, Solomon is one of my encourager.
Mm-hmm.
When he was given an assignment to lead Israel, he openly said, I am young, and these people are men. I'm not able to lead them.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, what do you need? Then he said, I need wisdom. So when alone as a man, I should be vulnerable before God. Honestly say, God has made me a pastor. This is a big assignment to lead your people.
Yeah.
Honestly, God, I am not able.
Mm.
Then God will say, what do you need?
Mm.
He said, no, I need wisdom. I need courage. I need how to arrange words. So setting aside time for, and also setting aside time for self-care and seeking accountability from other mentors or peers can help maintain a balanced approach. So in my closet, I'm seeking wisdom and inspiration from God. After that, there are also other peers of my level, other mentors, asking them, guys, on this area, how are you doing this? On this area, how are you doing this?
Mm.
On my mentee, if you see him or her walking there, presenting, do you see a better mentee, mentor on that person?
Mm.
So those one who help, seeking continuous personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
So,
yes, Pastor?
Yes, I was about to say, also participating in groups focused on mutual growth can also provide strength and insight as I guide others. For example, as a mentor, I should also go for courses on mentorship.
Okay.
The more I learn, the more I sharpen my skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is what I can say, ma'am.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And all of those, like you said, they all require humility. If I am humble enough to recognize that I don't know everything, that pushes me to go and learn more, to continue to upskill myself because I understand that I don't know everything. And of course, being connected to Christ will always keep you in that position where you recognize your limitations, you recognize your flaws and your need for a higher power. So I think that's a beautiful lesson. How would you conclude this conversation about leading without ego?
Okay, so in concluding this presentation, number one, I should commit myself to a path of humility. You know, being humble is a daily struggle because you may be having pride because you are good in mentoring others. So doing good is also a trap whereby you can end up having pride. Being a good singer, it's a blessing, but if it's not managed properly, it can be the root of pride. So I should constantly check myself on making sure I suppress pride and I uplift humility. I should subscribe to continuous learning, seeking more wisdom. Even me, myself, if there are also mentors, while I'm a mentor, I should also seek mentorship from others. And I should constantly submit myself to the will of God. Remember, this child I am mentoring belongs to the creator of the universe. So I am just an under shepherd, a steward doing God's work. So I should constantly engage myself in prayer so that God will give me wisdom on a continuous basis.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor, for coming through once again. I look forward to connecting with you tomorrow as we continue this conversation on mentorship. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.